Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes. And I'll be reading Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. And this is what the word of God says. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 7. Again, I saw vanity under the sun. One person who has no other, either son or brother, yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, "For whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure?" This also is vanity and an unhappy business. Two are better than one, because they will have good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie down, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, that as we listen to the interpretation of this passage, may your word encourage us. May your spirit move us to apply your word in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A very good morning to one and all. My name is Srima. I'm one of the pastors in this church, and I'll be sharing a short sermon on this very, very special occasion. First of all, I really like to thank God that we could gather in this manner after 2 years of hiatus that we could not do because of the COVID-19. So it's really a joy that we could have the enrollment and dedication service here. Now, last Friday, the Straits Times reported that one in three youths has mental health symptoms. And it was based on a study by National University of Singapore collaborating with the Education Ministry and the IMH, Institute of Mental Health. And this first national study aimed to estimate the prevalence of mental health conditions in youth and gauge their emotional resilience. And this is a preliminary finding. They found that one in three youths has internalized mental health symptoms. What does it mean? Symptoms like sadness, anxiety, and loneliness. But it's not just the youths that we need to be concerned about. A couple of months back, another article highlights seniors stuck at home, caught between loneliness and the fear of COVID-19. And this study, in this article, another study by the Duke NUS Medical School, found that 34% of Singaporeans and permanent residents aged 60 and older perceive themselves to be lonely. And according to a study published by the Journal of the American Geriatrics Society, people aged 60 who perceive themselves to be sometimes or mostly lonely can expect to live 3 to 5 years less on average compared to their peers who perceive themselves never to be lonely. In other words, loneliness can affect our lifespan. But what is interesting in these two articles, it highlights the importance of relationships. The report on the youth study highlights the importance of building relationship among others and describes relationship building as an important protective factor against self-harm or negative thoughts in young people today. And then the article on the seniors raised the need for relationships like family and friends to support seniors. The passage that I just read to you, God's Word, tells us the importance of relationship, to make friends. And it tells us that relationship and companionship are a reward and an encouragement, a comfort and a security. We will hear this as I go on in today's sermon. But just a little bit of background about the book. The book of Ecclesiastes is in the Bible. It is about a wise man who has studied different areas in life that he thinks gives him meaning and purpose. He asks big questions about the meaning and purpose in life. Why am I here? Where am I going after I'm done with my time on earth? And so in his study, he indulged in riches. He experienced great riches because he was a king. He did not excuse himself from any pleasure, wine, extreme pleasure, even taking on big projects, work, and studied a lot. He thought that these things will fill the deep void in his heart. But it didn't. It didn't give him meaning, and he was very disappointed. So the book is a very melancholic book because he did not find meaning and purpose in the things of this world. And in an earlier sermon, I shared that one word keep coming out from this book, and that is the word vanity. And that's how the author describes the things that we've tried to find meaning and purpose in this world, vanity. Vanity means smoke or vapor in the original language. And he tells that if we put our faith and try to find meaning and purpose in the things of this world, it will disappoint us. Because it's temporary. We're not going to live on earth forever. And they are like these empty soap bubbles. You know, it floats in the air for a while, then it kind of disappears. And one of the vanity that he discovers in life, in our passage today, is when you live a life of self-interest and isolation. He tells us in verses 7 and 8, there's a person who has no other. And that indicates that this is a man who probably did not have any kinship or relationship or friendship. He has no other. Now, why? Why does he not have any other? Likely, he did not invest in building relationships. But there's another reason. We are told that his eyes are never satisfied with riches. So this is someone who spends all his time and all his life chasing and amassing money, wealth, but he neglects something very important: the relationships around him. So what did he get at the end of the day? At a certain point of his life, he will ask, why am I working so hard? Who will accompany me and enjoy the things that I have achieved? Who is there? So he did not derive any pleasure out of his wealth. There's nobody that he can find solace or enjoy the fruit of his labor with. So to the author, this is a very unhappy life. Now, before I move on, there's something for us to learn from here. You know, it is possible to be so driven in our career and in what we want to achieve that we forget what is really important and the people around us. Our drive to succeed, to achieve more and more, may result in less time with our family and our friends. And at a certain point, our children or our family will feel neglected, and it's usually not intentional. Our family will one day ask, you know, maybe I'm not that important. And they grow tired of waiting for us to have time with them. So friends, if we value the relationships around us, then we need to make a commitment to spend time. The Center of Fathering in Singapore advocates a campaign, Eat with Your Family. It's a quarterly event on the last Friday of each school term. So the last one was just last Friday. Eat with your family. But it need not be each quarter, does it? Do it weekly, whenever you have the opportunity. And I want to encourage the young people to also eat with your family. I know that sometimes we want to be with our friends or with our hobbies or gadget, but these are very, very precious time. Having a meal is a good bonding time. So the author observed a lonely miser who missed out the most valuable thing in his life, that is to build relationships. And then he shares his wisdom. He gives us a general principle, first of all. And the general principle, and perhaps this is the only positive thing in the book that he talks about, and he tells us this: two are better than one. Is it true that two are better than one? When you have two peoples, you have two opinions. You have two opinions, you have two arguments. Two people can bring friction. I like to leave my clothes on the floor when I come back home, in the room. My wife disagrees with that. She has a different opinion. My wife can stick to a program and stick to it from front to end like a glue. For me, I like to flip channels. After a little while, I know, okay, this is what's going on. I know what's the end, then I move on to the next channel, and then the next channel. And then my wife besides me, she'll just sigh and feel very frustrated. But sometimes I just do that to irritate her also. But two are still better than one, because only with two can you experience love, can you experience comfort, can you experience someone being concerned for you? One person, you can't feel that. In his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren wrote that life is meant to be shared with people. God intends for us to experience life. God himself exists in a community, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in eternal fellowship. And we who are created in his image are wired to live in a community. And when we live in a community, we reflect the image of God. I chanced upon this article by Harvard University. They did a study which lasted for 80 years. This is an 80-year study on a healthy and happy life. And the study proved that embracing community or embracing relationships helps you to live longer and be happier. And there are a few quotes from this article. I just put it up there, and it's interesting to read them, because what scientists found is that our relationships and how happy we are has a powerful influence in our health. Taking care of your body is important, but tending to your relationship is a form of self-care. Closer relationship, more than money or fame, are what keeps people happy in their lives. And those are more important and better predictors of long and happy life than social class, IQ, or even genes. So relationship, when we are in a community, it keeps us healthy. The key to aging, to healthy aging, is, according to this article, relationships, relationships, relationships. So we heard the general principle. God has for long established that two are better than one. And in this passage, the author tells us, four benefits of why two are better than one. In other words, why relationships are so important. He tells us four things. Number one, there is a reward. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. A pair or a team can only accomplish so much. A person working alone can only accomplish so much, but a pair or a team can accomplish so much more and get greater reward. This picture was taken yesterday. It was the award ceremony of the Boys Brigade. Our Boys Brigade in Presbyterian High won the J.M. Fraser Award, Gold Award, again. And our junior company at Anderson Primary earned the Brigade President Commendation Award. The next slide, our Girls Brigade at Anderson Primary School won the Bronze Award. Very remarkable, considering that this is a new company. And our fifth company, Girls, has won the Gold Award for 19 years. The only company in Singapore that could do that. But we know that this is not possible by one person's effort. Behind the brigade is a team of committed students, dedicated teachers, and church members who give sacrificially of their time and their resources to the brigade. It is a team that works wonders. Difficult jobs can become faster when it's done by more people. More hands make the work lighter. Strength is double or triple when there's a team. I've learned in my ministry that two or more people bring more ideas to the table. We generate better solutions. Yes, there are differences, but differences means that we can complement one another with our strength. There's a quote that says, "It's teamwork that makes the dream work." So two are better than one because there is a reward. Two are better than one, and the author tells us the second benefit, because two can support each other. In verse 10, it tells us, if they fall, one can leave his fellow. But woe to him if he's alone. You see, this passage was written thousands of years ago. And in those times, there's no Grab, public transport, bus or car. If you have a donkey, you can travel by a donkey for a limited time, but most time, people those days walk. And the streets that they walk, it's not like Singapore streets, you know, so beautiful, a pavement nowadays, you walk on the pavement or the sidewalks, there's plants on your left and right, and you have a proper way to walk. In those days, the road is uneven, rocky. You do not know if you will fall down in a ditch. And so it is so much a support if you have someone to walk with you and journey with you. Because if you fall, he can lift you up. Can you imagine if you are alone, especially at night, walking in those areas, and if you fall, you break your leg, you are alone? There's no one to lift you up. And that is true in life, isn't it? We fall in different ways. Sometimes we may not do well in our exams. At times the work deadline causes us anxiety. We make mistakes. Sometimes we make a fool out of ourselves, caught in an awkward situation. But it's so encouraging if at those times we have a friend to support us, to lift us up, a friend who laughs with us, cry with us, and tell us it's all right, let's do it together. There's a book by Donald Joy is called Bonding, Relationships in the Image of God. And I benefited from the first chapter where it's titled, Who's Holding Your Trampoline? Now, the basic concept is this. If you are trapped on a third floor of a burning building, and only your closest friend can hold that trampoline, who will be there to hold? How many genuine relationships do you have? And the author here describes that we need four kinds of relationships to support us in life. We need our family. We need our relatives, grandpa, grandma, uncle, aunties, cousins. Family, we need our parents. And then there's the other corner where the author, friends we need, and the other corner the author called associates or acquaintances. And a typical person needs five or six people at each corner to hold that trampoline. And we need a total about 20 to 30 people in our life, close relationships. Are we able to identify these people in our life? Do we have a strong relationship with them? But I also believe that God also wants to challenge us, you and I, to hold someone's trembling. We hear earlier in the article, there are lonely people out there, youth, seniors. Will we be the one to also hold the trampoline for those who are alone, who are suffering? A trampoline today is not just for difficult times, it's also for fun. I heard there's a trampoline park in Singapore. I think our children ministry been there. I believe our girls brigade been there, is it? Yes. So nowadays, trampoline is also for fun, to exercise and things. So we need these quality relationships in our downtime and also in our fun time. Two are better than one because it brings reward. Another benefit of relationship and friendship is we can comfort one another. And this is what the author says. If two lie down, they keep warm. How can one keep warm alone? You know, there are no nice hotels a few thousand years ago when this passage was written. There's no Airbnb and things like that. So if a traveler is fortunate, he finds a cave or a shelter. But most of the time, he probably sleeps in the open air under the stars. How much can he carry to keep warm? But if he has a companion, they can huddle together and keep warm. The principle here is this, that we need relationships and people close to us for emotional support, for practical support, spiritual support. When we are down and out, we can comfort one another. I was down with COVID early this year, and it's such a comfort to have family members to care, church members to check in. Hey, you know, I got this medicine, it's very good for COVID. Shall I send it over? A brother brought meal to me. A simple WhatsApp checking in, hey, how are you doing? Can really make someone's day. So friends are important. They comfort us when we encounter difficulties in life. And we need to be open. You know, some of us are perhaps introvert, you want to be isolated, but we also need to be open to accept relationships in our lives. Friends and relationship are a reward, are a support, are a comfort. They also keeps us secure, protect us. And this is what the author says, if a man may prevail against another who is alone, two can withstand him, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Again, if you are traveling on the olden days, you are alone, you are easy prey to thieves and bandits and robbers. But if you have a companion, it gives you security. They provide, too, can provide resistance. I don't think we meet robbers and thieves, I pray not. But we do face challenges in life. We need help, and in such times, two can protect you, your family, your friends. They can watch your back. They can advise us, you know, when you have a major decision, what school to go. These are the people who can advise you. If one is bad, two is good, how much more, the merrier. The threefold cord. The image of this threefold cord, is basically saying there is strength when there's many. The more friendship and relationship we have, we are in a better position to overcome challenges. I like to share these verses at weddings. And I'll tell the wedding couple, you know, two are better than one because of all the reasons we mentioned earlier. But when two tie the knot, you need a third person to tighten it. And this third person is God. If God is at the center of our marriage and our relationship, then he will strengthen the bond between a man and a woman. So we hear why two is better than one, why relationships are important in our lives. They are a reward. They support us, they comfort us, they keep us safe. But friendship and deep relationships don't happen overnight. My wife and I, we like to keep plants. And I learned a lot by keeping plants. And likewise, you know, when you keep plants, you need to give it attention, you need to give it commitment, you need to give it patience and water it at the right time. And so likewise, friendship is like a plant that we need to water and to care for. You need to invest, you need to give time to it. It is essential to get along. Eric Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, highlights that genuine fellowship, people experience authenticity, sympathy, and mercy. It takes humility to be a friend. No one likes a stubborn or a proud person. And one of the important traits in making friends is courtesy. Courtesy means to respect one another's differences, to be considerate to other people's feeling, to be patient. It's a picture that a cell group here went for a walk. And we need to invest the time to be with our friends. So we cannot build friendship or bonds between your friends in the uniform group or in church when we feel like it. It's an intentional effort. It is an investment of time. Friends need to eat together, play together, laugh together. The next picture I'd like to show you is very dear to me. This is the picture of the Boys Brigade in Presbyterian High winning the National Drill Competition in 1995. I'm standing with my friends over there. And this picture is very dear to me, not because we came up tops in a competition or we appeared in the newspaper. But each time I look at this picture, I'm reminded of the friendship and the camaraderie that we had in the Boys Brigade. We didn't just win a competition. We became lifelong friends. And some of my friends here are still in church today. And it's a joy to see one another with our families after 30 years, still there. And I know that if I ever need help, there's a band of brothers watching my back. So for students here, I'd like to encourage you that your time in BB and GB is probably the birthplace of deep friendship and strong bonds. So make good friends, be a friend, support one another, invest your time in friendship, in relationships with your family and your relatives. Play, study, talk, goof around with your friends. Help your friends. All these will become beautiful memories in the future. It is also important to know of a wonderful friend. I came to know him and put my faith in him when I was 13 years old in the Boys' Brigade. And to be honest, sometimes human relationships fail. But the Lord Jesus never fails. In John 15:15, he says, "I call you friends." Can you imagine that? God, the creator of the world, calling his creature, calling you and me, friends. That is the relationship we have with God. And when we have Jesus as our friends, that is where we find our greatest reward, the greatest support, the greatest comfort, and the greatest security. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this ancient wisdom that is still relevant for us today. And we thank you so much that, Lord, you consider us friends. Lord, I pray for the companies that are represented here, the boys and girls, that, Lord, you will strengthen their bond and their relationships with their family, with their friends. Pray for us as a church too, Lord, that we too will grow in our intimacy with one another, in our friendship. Give you thanks, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Shrimal, for the message. Can I invite all of us to please stand as we sing the song of response?